Calm Down with Aaron and Carissa is a production of iHeartRadio.
Oh, sorry, Willis. Did I scare you with my drum roll? Welcome, everybody, to the Calm Down podcast. Aaron Andrews, you're as pretty as a peach in your little sweatshirt right there. Yes, you are. We are well underway with playoff football. And we couldn't be more excited for our guest today. It is one of our favorite guys, favorite NFL players on and off the field. Cam Jordan will join us, and I'm sure he has plenty of thoughts on how his season ended at the hands of San Francisco's win over the Dallas Cowboys, which was a controversy in and of itself for a lot of reasons. People still talking about it. But Aaron, you're now, you know, you'll be headed to Lambeau. Again, have you taken up residency at Lambeau? Did you get an apartment there yet? Because the Packers and the 49ers will be playing there and you're covering the game. Where are we at with our headspace of going back to the frozen tundra?
We're fine. We just, you know, we know that it's going to all look like Randy from A Christmas Story all bundled up. It's just, I end up looking like a four-year-old every time it's Lambeau and it's cold and my nose is running and it's good. Make sure you check out our Instagram all week long, Calm Down Podcast. I'll be really good about how I kind of get myself ready. It's a whole routine.
I was just going to ask you to do it because I mean, I've worked some cold games, but not as many as you've ever worked. But I was always a big fan of the hand warmers and I would put them in my gloves, in my shoes.
Hat, in our neck. The Green Bay Packers have a great guy on their equipment staff named Red, and he has been around forever. He's even helped some NHL teams in getting ready for these outdoor games. Actually, when Jarrett was on the Edmonton Oilers, they were playing an outdoor game and it was supposed to be like minus 10, minus 15. And the Oilers called Red from the Packers and just said, hey, can you help us out? Like, how should we outfit ourselves? Like, how should we get ready to play in these conditions? So he's great. A lot of times I'll wear these cute hats on the sidelines. And then I'm like, there's no liner in it. And Red will be tending to whatever defensive lineman or quarterback issue. And I'm like, do you have an extra liner inside the locker room? Because my ears are so cold. But he's always awesome. And yeah, so a lot of the tricks of the trade he's helped me out with. So yeah, I'll have the full update on the Calm Down Podcast IG. It sucks, but it's also Lambeau under the lights. Yep. It's for the division, you know, it's the divisional. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's awesome. It's the 49ers who have so much momentum on their side. I'm going to sit down with Jimmy G tomorrow. Feels good, baby. Mm-hmm. And it'll be great. It's 4.5 hours of just being so cold. And then I'm going to be on Troy Aikman's private jet out of there, drinking a lot of alcohol. And
number 8 beer, pass it over. Take one down
It
around.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, we're excited for that and a whole lot more. Also, we'll ask Cam Jordan about Cam Newton. We'll also ask him about life without Drew Brees and where will Russell Wilson end up. It's all coming up right after this quick little break. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast, YouTube, and our Calm Down podcast. We'll be right back. What up, Cam? Thank you for doing this with us.
Yeah, appreciate you guys for, you know, tuning me in. I be catching like little bits. Like, I be catching y'all little bits. I'm like, oh, I'm like, look at them. Just casting it up.
Did you know we were so funny?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I've only known you guys for like
100 years.
Like, let's call it a decade and some, which makes me old. So I'm not saying what that makes you guys young. Young, thanks, because you guys should be young.
You know what? We're all old at this point, and I'm okay with it. How's your podcast going? You got an off season for that thing too, or are you rolling year round?
No. Just in the off season. It is still a wonderful hobby. We haven't made the full score push yet, so we're still good. Like, it's we're talking about doing our third season.
Hey.
You know, so we've got things upcoming. Now the question is, are we going to do the third season? I think so.
Are you holding out? Are you in free agency? I mean, you're getting out of your rookie contract.
Practically. I didn't know that there was, you know, there's free agency for this, but there is
always room for negotiation. Cam, come on,
always.
Kid.
Always.
Well, we're happy that you're here with us on our podcast. You know how much we love and adore you on and off the field. We obviously want to always see you, you know, as long as we can into the postseason. Take us back for a second to that last game and walking off the field, knowing that, you know, your fate was in the hands of other people, which is never what you want. I know.
I mean, actually, I left in pretty good spirit leaving the field. I'm not gonna lie to you. I was saying, you know, what's up to my guy Tyler Davidson, Ty Ehler, big TY over Atlanta, nose tackle for him. You know, I said what's up to Grady. We've been to a couple Pro Bowls together. You know, was saying my what's ups, my goodbyes. You know, better luck next year types. And then, you know, I saw Matt Ryan take off towards the tunnel, and I didn't get to say thank you for everything you've done for me. So I jogged after him. Aww. You know. So, hey, man, thank you. Appreciate you for all 23 sacks over my 11 years. Like, there's nothing more.
So that's cold as ice. Yeah.
Like, who would I be if I didn't say thank you? You know, like, don't be rude. So, you know, then we walked in and then we saw the rest of the Rams go ahead and defecate themselves and lose to the Niners somehow. That's what happens. I mean, it's on any given Sunday. I'm rooting for the Niners. Like, I hope they meet the next time and they completely obliterate the Rams. But that's just the pettiness in me. We'll see what happens.
So that's what happens now, because Carissa and I just said how I couldn't wait to get on with you and talk to you about the games this weekend and what happened last weekend and everything in between. But yeah, Carissa was wondering, are you salty with the Rams? Or no, it's the Rams. So you go Niners.
Yeah, I mean, I like to say go Niners because, you know, I really like, I'm stuck. So I'm not biased enough to say I'm still salty from the call we didn't get when we played them in the NFC Championship game, right? I'm long beyond that.
Yeah.
I'm unbiased. I mean, we didn't even have a ticket to the playoffs, so I can't feel any type of way about this. Had we beat the Giants in overtime, we wouldn't even be discussing if we're in or not. We lose to the Carolina Panthers the first time. Like, there's plenty of fingers to point at ourselves before I can point out, hell, we played with four quarterbacks this year?
Well, three? I mean, that's the thing. Four. You guys, just your injuries alone, COVID. I mean, give me a break. You guys definitely went through it.
Tell me about it. We had half a coaching staff gone for a game or two early in the year. We were displaced to Dallas, and we still won. Like, we
can't, over a lot of this. I was just going to say, isn't that crazy that when we were talking about that on set, that you guys being in Dallas feels like 4 years ago. I mean, it feels so, and what, 58 different starters you guys, you know, rotated through. That's insane. But comical. I want to go back for a second. So that San Francisco game, obviously you saw everything that happened with Dak and that call. I want your take on that. What did you think when that whole thing, your
I
face
love you,
says
Cam.
It all, go.
What do you mean? I mean, they were fighting back, but at the same time, they were down in their own house. I mean, you know, it sort of just is what it is. They were losing and somehow fought a hard-fought battle to come back. And in my mind, there should have been no reason why they were down to begin with. So that's on them. I mean, you've got Dak. You've got the entire, you know, Cowboys offensive line. You've got, you've got CeeDee Lamb. You know, they've got Amari Cooper. They've got nothing but talent there. So to fight your way back and then to make it, you know, a little error where we all know that the ref is going to have to touch the ball, right? So you hand the ball to the ref, just like you hand the ball to Zeke. You just turn around, hand the ball to ref. Ref places it, you touch it, you probably have a second left. I'm not even faulting them for the QB draw, because had it been done, executed the right way, you probably could have had enough time, because it was, what, like 13 seconds
when
we took off?
You really think? Because I'm like, that the difference between 14 and 16 seconds, but I'm like, you got to take your shot. You are hoping that everything goes perfect. I understand your objective is to get as close as you can to give yourself a fighting chance, but you are really dependent on everything going absolutely perfect in that scenario with such little time and no timeouts.
So you don't blame it. You don't blame it.
That's what practice is for. I know every week in training camp, we do 35 2-minute situations a week where it's like, these are the important situations that could come up during season. During season, let's call it 2 or 3 times a week. But you know, this situation where you have like 12 to 16 seconds left, like, these are the plays you can do. These are the things that can happen. So I feel like every team, maybe I'm just biased because I also have Sean Payton. I feel like, you know, we're well prepared. So in my mind, every team goes through something like this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, somewhere between 12 and 14 seconds, I think, is about the allotted time you have to, you know, get down and spike a ball.
See, I was just going to ask you that, Cam. Is that, and sorry if this is ignorant, is that all Sean saying, okay, offense, defense, I want you practicing these kind of situations.
Absolutely.
That's a Sean thing. That's not Dennis Allen, or who's that coming from?
It's the infamous situations.
Yeah.
And if you ask any Saints player how to spell situation, by the way, phonetically how Sean says it, we don't know. I've tried to spell this 35 times in my mind.
Situation. What does he say? Situation?
Situation. Yeah, situations. And I think there's a J in there after the D.
Situation football?
Yeah, situations. And I look forward to it
because
I never know. I have no idea.
It's just a Seanism.
I'll say it's a Seanism. I swear, you know, if you know Sean, he's got a lot of. Look, he's very anal about, you know, his wide receiver's depth, his splits, how the opposite line, like he's very in tune to everything. So it's just something you got to take with. I'm not sure how or when he learned how to spell situation. Maybe somewhere in Chicago when he was over at school or something. Like, I don't know what they do out in the Midwest anymore. I left when I was 5.
You're the best. All right. So that is what it is. But if you're that San Francisco defense, you're like, well, that was easy. We didn't even have to do anything to get these cats off the field. They hurt themselves. So now you're rooting for San Francisco all the way. What are the chances that you give them to go to the next round? Or honestly, do you watch at this point?
Yeah. Probably this year I'm a little better to watch. Like years prior, I felt like I was screwed over and I was really like the Saints versus the world, and you know, without being politically correct, screw everybody. You know, y'all don't care about us.
You can say
y'all want us to fail. Yeah, like y'all want us to fail. Screw you. Like Goodell's always had a thing for Sean, which he does. Like, you know, they still hold us. They hold us accountable for everything. They never get calls our way. We could have called either a helmet to helmet or a late hit on Drew. They didn't want to do their freaking jobs. The strike refs, but we know refs are not going to be in our favor. We know that in human error, the refs are the epitome of human error. You know, like there's constant situations where we're never going to get the call. This year, we had a lot of our own battles to fight. I mean, I missed my first game since my sophomore year of college this year to COVID. Mm. And I was literally feeling just like this, like sitting at the house like, no, I'm good. I can play.
Yeah.
No, I can't. Still positive, huh? Okay.
Oh.
So, you know, that just is what it is. But it makes you appreciate the game more for that, too. But this season, 4 quarterback starters from Jameis to Trevor, Taysom, Ian, Book. I mean, back to Trevor.
Yeah.
Or back to Taysom, back to Trevor. It was tumultuous for sure.
There is a recipe to beat Brady and company. You guys had it and you did it decisively at the beginning of the year. So there is a way, I mean, given, you know,
or last year
and at the end of the year too. Yeah.
So, but
just pick one out of the 4 out of 5.
Hell, you know, look, we don't have time to talk about how dominant you are. Actually, we do. what is that recipe though? Yeah. 'Cause it's not just him,
man. When I've been blessed to be a part of a defense this last, like, what, 3 or 4 years that have been top 5 against the run. What do you finish, 3 or 4?
You guys were number 1 like all year long.
And then we played the Philadelphia Eagles and then we dropped the freaking A.
Well, you stacked their stat sheet.
That's what I'm saying. Like, anyways, and that's the last 2 years. Like, it's frustrating. But you think about, so you have a top tier run defense, and then our pass defense was decent those last couple of years. They started excelling this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what whether it be the emergence of a Debo, whether it be the congealing of all 4, you know, all 5, I guess. You would just say the nickel, the 2 corners, the 2 safeties, just knowing where everybody's going to be. I mean, they took off. And we've always argued like, hey, if we get 3rd and favorable, which in my mind is anywhere from 3rd and 6, like 3rd and 6 plus, our defense like coach would probably say,
I like that you're 3rd and favorable.
Oh yeah, like 3rd and 7 plus would probably be more favorable, but I'll take 3rd and 6 because that means the quarterback actually has to do more than just a slant route, right? He has to do more than just a first read. And if we get him more than just first read, now we can really affect the quarterback. And that's where you see a lot of that change happening with Tampa anyways. You get him to them 3rd and 7s, 3rd and 8s. Now the route has to develop. He can't just toss one up, which he still can because he had Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown
at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he had every receiver he could just toss up and probably win a 50-50 ball. But that's where you see pass rush happening, getting more hits, making them uncomfortable. Nothing says you're going to win this game like Tom Brady starting to yell at his offensive line.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. I love that.
Everybody knows it. Like, he threw his, look, I didn't even see until after the game. He threw his, what was it? Not
the
iPad.
The Microsoft Surface? Windows.
Yeah, the Microsoft Surface.
Yeah, that
Surface.
Thing hurt. Those windows thing, were shattered after that.
No doubt. I said, oh, that's a fine. Somebody's got to find him. He won't even feel it, but like, you know, just yeah.
What's a fine for Tom Brady? Nothing.
Does it matter? I was like, does it matter? Quarterback money? Come on.
Is he a good trash talker? I mean, Cam, you're one of my favorites out there, and I love when you get to hear what you say. I mean, what are exchanges like with him when you know you're starting again under the goat skin?
Come on. Is there such a thing? No, no. Again, he's probably chewing out his offensive lineman. He doesn't actually talk trash.
He doesn't
to somebody.
Talk to you guys?
No.
Ask Tyrann Mathieu.
Ah, see, so that means I'm not in his head. I got to do better.
Right?
I mean, he's literally like, you know, like you hit him, he'd be like, he'll look at you and look at his offensive line. But then again, I also never got that from
Dennis Allen, though. He had some words for your defensive coordinator.
That was Ryan Nielsen.
Okay.
Ryan Nielsen sitting on the sideline and they had exchanged. I'm over there sitting there like, I was like, yo, my coach might fight
him. What was he so pissed off about with the D-line coach?
I have no idea. Because he was like, my coach came from USC. My coach played D-line. You know, like, so he was like an end that went to tackle, that went to nose tackle. So in his mind, like, every snap that we take, he takes. So he was probably like fully bought in as well.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I just look at him. I'm like, if Tom and Ryan go into a room and there's no space, I have my money on. Not Tom. I just think Tom lives too good of a life. He went from Michigan State to being in
Michigan.
You know,
they would not like Michigan State
on
who that
cares?
One.
Who cares?
Of course.
Some Big Ten. What, I don't even know what conference that is. That Big Ten?
Big Ten. It is Big Ten.
And I only say that because, like, when I was in school, they were another conference. You know, like, they were.
Yeah, all the different realignments of everything.
Realignments.
So you're in your 12th, you just finished your 12th year. Right?
11th.
So you're 11 years behind you. Does it feel like a lifetime ago you started, or does it feel like yesterday?
Yeah, because I mean, I remember beating Michigan State just because now, you know.
It's in your head.
I remember beating Michigan State back in my sophomore year of college. I remember my freshman year of college watching DeSean Jackson return a punt return against University of Tennessee and like knowing he was going to the league. Like at 17, you're like, what a league player looks like. you know, like.
And still doing
like,
it.
Guys, yeah, and still. Like, yeah. I remember, like, you know, I remember all of it. There's key moments where you just realize, like, some people are just goated. You know, like, for me, it was DeSean Jackson. And then I came in with the class that had me, Javid Best, Shane Vereen.
Javid Best, there's
Chris
a name.
Chris Conte, Mitch Schwartz. Like, our class hit all, like, there was six or seven of us that hit the league. And Javid Best beat DeSean Jackson in a foot race by, like, a step or two. And I was watching, like, I was like, this is just unreal. Like, you know, like when you watch fast people race and then like elite fast people race, you're like, oh, there's another level to this. Okay. I was like, I thought I had quick twitch. I thought I was fast-ish. Not even in the realms. It's cool.
I think what I love about you, well, there's a lot that I love about you, but I know that you are just like a fearless, just unbelievable competitor out there, but you're one of the nicest guys to be around.
Put that on the cosmos.
Laughing
I'm a defensive
when, you know,
lineman.
We're talking about like talking like shit to Tom Brady. It's like Camp Jordan doesn't talk shit. He's a little sweetheart, but I don't know if I've ever seen you be an asshole on the field, Cam. Like, I know you rip guys apart, but you don't click, do you? I mean, you don't ever like switch.
No,
because you're still a sweetheart. I mean, I remember the whole like talking shit with like Cam Newton and the buy the thing of Jordan. Like, I got your Jordan and all that. Oh, I'm gonna drink my Jordan. I got the broom and all that. But it's like you're not.
I don't know where the broom
dick.
Came from. I don't know where the broom. I felt like the broom might have taken it one step too far. The broom wasn't me.
I
sent a bottle of Jordan wine to my man's because he seemed to be with his top hats and his suits. He just seemed to be a connoisseur of finer things in life.
Right.
And I just wanted to say thank you. You know, thank you for being at the helm of these, you know, three straight wins. You know, it's hard to beat a team.
You're a
twice.
Smart ass. You're just not a jerk. Yeah.
I'm just a pure sarcastic. I consider myself a prick because I like that category. You know, I like you can't be a nice guy as a defensive lineman. I'd say sarcastic, endeavoring, semi-asshole. You know, like, not so much, but still sort of. If you ask my wife, I'd probably be full-blown asshole. Like, depends on the day.
How is that beauty in that wonderful family of yours, by the way? Do we have, what are our plans for the off-season with the fam?
Man.
And are we pregnant again? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
no. Impossible, cuz.
Whoa.
Impossible.
Nothing's impossible.
We got snipped.
Man,
well, that doesn't mean anything. Be careful.
No. I'm not Antonio Cromartie. Look, I sent
Sean Kemp.
Look, I sent all my specimens in. I was like, are we good? I was like, it's gone, right? All right. And now I'm Steph Curry. But you know, I'm just here to, like, you know, four kids is great. I thought I'd get two boys out of it. I got three girls. I got one boy. My boy's a pure alpha, which is amazing.
Perfect.
Like he's a straight fighter. I look at him and, like, I try and get mad at him, but I know for a fact I've done 100% of exactly what he's doing. Like, I'm just watching him. And, like, Nikki will look at me and be like, do you know where this comes from? I'm like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all of it. All of it. She's like, you did this when you were younger? It's funny that you say that. Yeah. About 5:30 in the morning, I'm up singing. Yeah. No. I don't care sometimes who's up. Yeah, that was me. I'm sorry. At 6 years old, I didn't care about the rest of the world. That's on me. Aww. And here my guy is at 5:30 in the morning. Everybody's asleep and he's just sword fighting in his room, protecting the house from the greater dangers of the ether.
So sweet. But that's also why you're such a sweetheart with the three girls.
Yeah.
Are you braiding the hair? Are you
I've tried. No.
It's hard, all tender, right? Yeah.
They're all tenderheaded. And but I don't have his finesse. These hands are meant to destroy. Like, I destroy things with these hands. I don't fix anything in the house. I destroy things. Could you put in a light bulb? I can't. Can you braid the hair? Ah, I can try, but it's not going to come out well.
Honey, these hands built this house. Okay.
The
house of Jordan, which, by the way, that painting behind you, stay a while.
Yeah.
Who's the artist? Right? Let's give some cred here.
Right?
So
now
good.
I forget. Like,
oh, now you forget.
Okay, Josh Wingirder.
Oh, yeah. Josh. We know Josh.
Okay, perfect. Just a local 504, you know? Oh. So this was season, I think this was season one of Trust Levels.
So cool.
Background. Pretty. Like, look at the mustache. That was such an elite mustache.
It's such a great, yeah.
The handlebar? Of course.
Yeah. It was disgusting. It got in the way of every meal.
Ew. Can't.
I know. I'm just saying, like, everybody was like, why don't you go back? I will never. Like, I always wanted one and got it and was like, this is gross.
I like this one better. Hey, what's your favorite thing about being a girl dad? What's your favorite thing to do with your girls?
I don't know. There's so much. Like, I try it. Like, I semi joke, but they have so much love that I never knew. Like, I like this too much love. Like, I'll literally, my saying is, I'm like, all right, daddy's had too much love. Too much love. Like, they're like, they hug and they kiss and they, like, hold all the time. And I'm just like,
no,
like the times three, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's time. And I'm their favorite more times than not.
Well, yeah, because, like, you're not home as much as your wife is. Exactly.
I'm the fun guy.
You're the fun, like, one. Of course you are.
Like, you know, like, and there's probably resentment there.
Oh, yeah.
You come home and they look at you and all they want to do is love you and hug you and they fight me.
Mm-hmm.
Meh. Do they like it? Well, depends on which one. My eldest is like the girly girl and I'm not sure how I got one. You know, like my second daughter is, I think she could be a UFC fighter. Like, she's just overly aggressive,
scrappy,
always trying to fight. Yes, just jabs on air. I'm thinking judo might be for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one is just too young. She's one. So we're giving her time to figure out what she is, but they love it. I mean, they love dressing up for it more than probably, like, actually watching.
Yeah.
I thought I had some sports enthusiasts. Like, you know, I took them to a couple of the Pelicans games
individually. Yeah, I saw those.
You know, like, I get individual dates with the kids. You learn which one actually likes sports. My eldest daughter, she's, unless something switches sometime soon, she's just strictly there for pictures. She's she's already, like, just taking
posing.
Pictures of the team.
You can say
she's,
that for a lot of the WAGs too, you know?
A lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily I don't have one of those.
No.
You got a good one.
Mine is purely competitive. Wants to be out there if she could. Luckily, she played basketball. She's too soft to play football. But had she, you know, I make fun of non-contact sports.
Well,
I probably gotta stop.
Cam, you do it at a high level every single year. You know, with the resume that you have, I bet you it's hard to pick one. But do you have a favorite?
Officially resume.
Is that a Sean Payton word too?
No, resume? That's Antonio Browner.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to have resume. An
opinion? Do you have you talked to your boy? Do you want to have an opinion on that? Or lay out on this? Nope. We're gonna lay out on it. Nope. Nope. Okay. Okay.
Oh, backpedal so fast.
Okay. What was your What were your thoughts when you saw the video?
Legendary.
It?
Legendary. I mean, he's legendary.
That's legendary. If that's your teammate, okay, Cam. Nope. You're the consummate teammate. If that's your teammate, you're okay with that? Don't say it, Cam.
And I will only say because they ended up winning that game. had you lost that game, probably major beef. But they won the game, so he's no longer a distraction. He said what he needed to say. He did what he needed to do. And on the plane ride home, we're going to be talking about this. Like, bro, how do you feel? I don't know how I feel. Was it legendary? That shit's legendary. In my mind, there has been like two or three players that I'll never name and never talk about on camera that I'm like, that's legendary stuff.
You don't
condone the behavior, but it takes balls to do it.
Más grande cojones. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. That does take balls to do it, but.
How about Mike Evans pleading with him to stay and then going out there on a third down and completing? I mean, converting. Hello?
Bro, you got to stay. You got to do this for us. Team,
hold on.
Bro,
I got to catch you back.
All right. Oh, he did it anyways. Okay.
Well, that was the thing. We were talking with Glazer because he was talking with Arians right after the game. And we're like, what is he saying? And Arians like, I told him to go in. Like, I didn't tell him that he couldn't. Like, I said, go in and play. So there was mass confusion all the way around.
But it's also a conundrum of like health versus ability. You know, like could he play? Absolutely. He played for the first half. But apparently he had some nagging, lingering something. And maybe the painkillers wore off. I don't know
whatever
the entirety
the situation
of the story.
Was. All right. Well, you stay for the entire game. And so the question is, do you have a favorite sack or do you have a favorite quarterback you like to sack? Because I feel like you've got them all at this
like
point in your life.
I'll say.
Do you have a favorite quarterback you like to sack? Because I feel like you've got them all at this
like
point in your
question.
Life.
I'll say, I never sacked Peyton Manning, and I'm upset about
you
it.
You never sacked Peyton Manning? It's not like
no.
He was fleet of foot, man. What happened?
I was young, so my first year, I think his neck was hurt. My first time I remember playing him, and I might be wrong, but his neck was hurt.
Well,
so
his neck was definitely hurt later in his career. I mean, it was hurt a lot, but like
later in the career is like my early career.
Yeah.
but when he was with the Broncos, that wouldn't have been with early. It would have been with the Colts. Surgery was after Indianapolis. So that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, yeah. So I think his neck was hurt and Painter was playing. So that.
Bummer. No sack on Peyton, huh?
No, but then we played in Denver and I like distinctly remember, like, I was like, yo, I want to play end. And I think I was playing three technique and one of our like sliding front defenses that if they adjust to something like that, I have to go from three technique to nose. And it happened a lot. And they ended up like, I swear they targeted me and it was me alone. I would have to like slide from a three technique to a nose tackle. And they were kicking my ass. This was the first time I was like, I looked at my D tackle, Cedric Ellis. And I was like, bro, when we slide over, just stay at nose. And he looked at me and was like,
No, bro.
And I was like, Sed's a USC guy, straight West Coast cat. I was like, bro, help me. He's like, bro, ain't no way.
That's on you, man. That's on you.
And I was sitting like, it was just like one of those splashes. Like, damn, I guess I'm only a second or third year. Like, I got to earn my stripes still, you know, like, because I was out there trying to hold up that interior. Life is different.
Who do you mess with now the same way?
Oh, nobody. Nobody. I'm like, whatever you need. Like, just simply because, like, my D-line, they get hurt too often. Like, you know, my guy Tano got hurt.
Yeah.
My guy Marcus got hurt for, like, half the season. But Peyton, my rookie got hurt, like, halfway through the season. I don't even know. It was my guy Shy Tuttle is the only D-lineman that saw all 17 games. I saw 16. So I couldn't even be mad at him. But... all right. So if we talk about quarterbacks, right? You said favorite mm-hmm. quarterback to hit. Clearly mm-hmm. Matt Ryan. Me and him, special
he's
connection
so generous.
There.
Generous.
Yeah, man, 23 sacks between us.
Aww, cold as ice. Matt. Like, cold as Matt ice.
Man, Maddie, too nice to me. You know, that's my guy.
I feel bad for that guy.
If he ever needs like a nice bottle of you know.
You got to hook him up with some Opus 1 or something.
That's
you got to go.
Like,
you got to go higher than Jordan on that.
I don't know. I've got a special reserve that nobody else has. I can send him some special stuff.
Well, it sounds like he deserves it. Oh, I had a New England game against him this year. You couldn't get that guy like off the ground. So he deserves it.
No doubt. So then I'd say favorite sack. It would probably be my first sack simply because it broke the ice, which would be Cam Newton, week 16 of rookie year. And I was like, damn it, these sacks are never going to come. I already got like four or five late hit penalties on quarterbacks. Like every sack I thought I had, they took away. So I was about to end it. I was like, what I thought was going to be a solid like 5-6 sack season was a one sacker. And I was like, at least I got one. So that's what I tell people. Like, bro, I didn't get that many sacks this rookie year. I started off at one. I'm just saying, it's a journey. Now, don't look at the short run. Look at the long run.
Were you happy to see Stray's record broken this year? I know you wanted, of course, but
it was a single season tied.
It was tied. It was 17 games.
Yeah.
But also, like, because it was tied, you know, you look at those sacks and TJ Watt, I think, like, threw in a review of a sack, but also Baker Mayfield, like if you want to talk about how controversial Michael Strahan's sack on Brett Favre was, let's talk about, you know, Baker Mayfield like slid and crossed the line of scrimmage and they still gave TJ Watt a sack too. Mm. I mean, there's always something, but either way it was tied and that's super impressive. Also, the Steelers were out there. They ain't give no damn about no run. Them boys pass rushing. they realized Ben was probably on his way out and was like, y'all mind we might have seen it on the backfield. But it is what it is. I mean, it's impressive to do. There's nothing you could take away from anything north of 15. So to get 22 and a half, you can't say shit. Look, like you could tell me, like, Cam, you got 22 and a half. Oh, but you didn't play the run.
Whatever.
Do they pay us to play the run?
I'm running to the bank because I just got 22 and a half. That's where I'm running.
Running to the bank. Because let's be honest about it. Fans be like, you know, fans and even critics be like, oh, you know, he's not getting to the quarterback enough, but he could be a top tier run stuffer. They don't care. All they really care about is just like when Julio Jones had what, like 1500 yards at 1 year, but only had like two touchdowns. They were like, oh, his production's down. Julio's going absolutely absurd. What are you talking about? Like, that's what they look at sort of the run stopping. They're like, he's a hell of a run stopper, but nobody cares. Mm. He can pass rush. That's where we want him.
Like, yeah.
But to get the third down, there's first and second down.
This just in. I gotta know, you know, this year, life without Drew Brees, what he meant to that team, and you know, you've always stood up and been that other guy. How different for you was it we're not taking anything away from your quarterback room now. I'm just focusing on the presence that was Drew Brees. How different was this year without him?
Man, you know, that solid leadership that you get from Drew, that ever constant presence of consistency that you get. And I'm just saying, like, even if it's a down stat game or extremely high stat game, the level of consistency, right? Like Drew's methodology of taking the football is just that consistent. You know, he's the first one in, he's the last one out. You know, on Friday he gets his body work. You know exactly which trainer he's going to go to. You know where he's going to be. You know, even if he doesn't practice that day, he's at practice doing all of his throws, doing all of his reads. Like it's
a machine. It's,
man, just a pure machine. Like even like, you know, 11 years ago, back when he used to do weights versus like 8 years ago when he changed weights to like TRX bands.
Or
like,
became a vegan too.
Like went from devouring char grilled oysters to like eating these like plates. You know what I'm saying? But it was all like, it was all the plan. It was never like deviations. You knew even win, lose or draw, like he was going to do this, right? Like, and him not being in building, you see like, yo, Drew had power. Like some of the dynamics that changed, you just sit back, you're like, it's Drew Orleans for a reason, right? But you're like, shit, this was the house that Drew and Sean built. Okay. But you know, when you take away Drew, luckily, which sounds sort of bad, but luckily, you know, it's not like he just retired and we didn't know it was coming retired and we had to figure out a way to win, right? The last two seasons, we'd seen Teddy Bridgewater step in and have to play for a spell. We saw, you know, Taysom Hill come in. We saw, you know, whoever come in, but we were able to win still. Mm-hmm. So from a mindset of what do we do without Drew, we sort of got two seasons of, hey, this ship can still sail. You know, like we don't have to be like, oh, damn, what do we do now? It's like, We know we went, what did we go? Like 4-0 with Teddy.
You guys were one Niners loss away from making the playoffs. Like,
right.
You know, despite everything that we already outlined, yeah. You know, how difficult this year was. So,
mentality shift from offense to straight defense.
Yeah, you guys ball out. And you know how I feel about DeMario. I mean, man. Love
DeMario. Oh. He's I think he was a second team all pro this year. He's three time all pro.
He doesn't get underrated. Enough credit.
Like, he doesn't. I love
like,
that
I throw
guy.
I was at him in the locker room just strictly because I'm like, bro, like, I don't get it. Like, you're upstanding. You're a phenomenal Christian man. You're a phenomenal family man. All the work you do with Devoted Dreamers is nothing short of amazing. Bro, you have like 130 tackles a year and like a pure monster.
He's one of Todd Bowles' favorite players he ever coached. He told us. Loves him.
Was that with the Jets?
Yep.
Bro, okay. I didn't even know who he was when he was at the Jets. He came over to us and I was like, who is this guy?
Totally.
His first year, he smacked whatever running back at the time from Tampa Bay so hard, they gave him a flag, right? They hit him like, oh, helmet to helmet. And it was shoulder to shoulder. Like, it was a perfect... Nobody's just built different. He's built like one of these Greek gods, right?
He's
super shredded. Like
I like that he takes... He has an alter... What does he have? An alter ego? He told me.
Oh, he man. Like, does he? I don't want to know
this
about
him. That's what he said. So he can like separate like the good Christian man in himself. And then when he takes the field, like that gladiator mentality that he has. So he doesn't feel bad
Cam's
about...
Cam's just the nice guy living. Going out there.
Yeah, this guy's telling jokes on the line.
Facts. Okay, these are real facts. Look, there's nothing that changes between now and a football game other than probably a little bit of like pressure, like more pressure. Like I'm literally in one of the games like, yo, I'm built for this. I'm like, don't get it twisted. Like in the same tone, right? Like I'm like, look, your man's just tired. His feet are crossed. Oh, him? Oh, he's big tired. I'm on his
You're
head.
Crazy.
Cam's like the guy where even during, like there's some guys like, DeMario, even Tom's one of them. Like Tom coming off the field, like he's kind of Roy Kent.
Stoic.
He's like, but then off the field, he's like, hey babe, what's up? You know, and stuff like that. But Cam's out on the field. And I'm like, hey Cam, how are you? Hey.
Oh my God, what's up?
It's so good. Okay, before I let you go, because your team is one of the rumored places that Russell Wilson wants to go. Does he end up? I heard a let's go right there. Did I hear that? I heard a let's go.
I don't
go.
Know. I don't have a quarterback with Jameis being like up with the free agency, right? Taysom just got surgery. So I'm just like,
yeah.
Okay.
I would Russell, like a little security.
Your boy wants you there.
Man. What about another Cal quarterback? I always thought that would be a good rumor to stir up.
I've heard. Look,
can
I've
you
heard
imagine him playing with Sean Payton?
I could. I could do
so
more than
Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, you have been summoned to New Orleans.
No doubt. Or Jameis when he's healthy. I mean, either way,
of course,
more security.
Of course.
Like, let's get in there. Because then if we got a premier starting quarterback, you can't tell me we're not poised for everything. Hell,
Sean tried to get Tom Brady there. He tried.
And you know what every quarterback wants? A good defense. And last time I checked... You got
we're
a great defense.
We're
so,
up.
And you've got
we
an
good.
Awesome head coach. One of my favorites.
He's one of my favorites too, you know?
And that's the other thing too. And when you look at these coaching carousels, I'm just going to keep going, by the way.
Yeah, that's a good point, Carissa.
Bringing up all these coaching carousels and these guys just have a second to make an impact. And if they don't, then it's the next one. And you look, you know, even we're talking about Matt Ryan, a different head coach every few years and a different offensive coordinator. And when you look at the consistency that you've had at the head coaching position in New Orleans, it can't help but make a huge impact just to have that face.
I think today's the anniversary of his signing. I think I saw that today on Instagram.
Is that true?
Yeah, I think so.
So what has been a part of the Saints for what, 16, 15, 16?
I thought I read 15. I'm not sure, but I swear I saw that
I know
today.
It's before me. It's what, 2006? Yeah, I believe 15 seasons in, right?
Ryan, tell our wonderful producer.
Here it is, 16 years ago today. Look at that little peanut face.
Bow. Looking just like his son.
He's one of the best.
He looked just like it. Or I guess his son looked just like him.
What's it? Okay, let's play this game. Give me a word. What is the first, when I say Sean Payton, you think what?
Head coach.
Okay, give me I need an adjective. We know what he is. Give me an adjective. I say Sean Payton, you say?
Baller.
I'll say pressure. That's pressure.
Pressure?
That's pure pressure. Yeah. As in he puts pressure on his offense, whether it be tempo, whether it be alignments, assignments. The only reason he'll like, and I say pressure, Because the only reason he'll talk to the defense is if we're doing something really, really good, or he got to come correct. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'll come down. He'll come down. You're like, I know what he's coming
here
for.
You know you're
for.
In trouble? The principal is coming down the hallway? Like,
hey, we need more pressure. Shit, Sean, just go back to your offense. Like, go back over there. I like offensive-minded head coaches because you don't have to deal with them. Like, college, I had Jeff Tedford, offensive-minded coach. League, I had Sean Payton, offensive-minded coach. Don't come over here. We didn't have real conversations my first 3 years in the league. It literally took me like 3 years to have real conversation. Why? Because he's office guy. Stay over there.
That's I think your D-core deserves a head coaching job, by the way, but I won't take him from you.
You want him
I
to love stay, him. So.
I mean, look, I've had my first 3 years in the league, first 4 years in the league, I had four defensive coordinators. Mm. It's nice to get a little consistency. I'm not going to lie to you.
Understood. Like anyone.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've gone through, I used to say, look, defensive coordinators come and go. I'm still constant. So, you know, whether you come or go, I'll still be here. 11 years later, I'm still saying that to my D-line. Mm-hmm. Like, look, you got to work hard to stay here. Because the moment you don't work hard, you're out of here.
Yeah.
You know who's still going to be working hard? Me.
What's the one thing you wish someone would have told you when you entered the league?
Man, don't make friends in training camp.
What do you mean?
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Because, like, you become really good friends. You become vested. Yeah, like, you become vested in one of your guys. You're like, this is my dog.
And but then don't you have a sense of who's making it and who's not making it?
Sometimes. Yes and no. Sometimes you get to a training camp. Like, I've been a part of two or three training camps, girl. I swear, a kid that I, like, that's playing beside me is, like, he's, in, like, right behind me in depth chart or whatever it is. It's like, I see mad potential. I'm like, this guy could be he could be go. And then he gets nixed, and you're like, but how? Mm. How?
Now, you know? Cam, you told me you wish somebody had told you that it's going to be expensive having a wife in the NFL.
That had nothing to do with it. Look, that's bar NFL. What do you mean? You talk to a businessman. I said, that's life.
You said
to a single person in rookie, getting married?
In just rookie, think about it. You said in your rookie class your rookie meeting symposium, you wish they had told you these chicks are going to cost you some money.
Money. I'm still in my 2011 Chevy Tahoe right outside right now.
Cute,
that's me.
Cam.
I've had the same car for 10 years. Since then, me and wife have been married for 3 years, been together for, I don't want to say out loud because I might be wrong, 7-ish.
Yeah, do you? Whatever.
She hear this. She's like, cool. We've been together 8. Yeah. I'm like, 7-ish years, right? And then, but she's had 2 or 3 cars since then. Like, come on. I paid $39 cash for my car. She's had an Audi, and mine's a Chevy. I'm just a working class guy.
You are.
She's had an Audi, and now she's in an Escalade, and she's eyeing the new Escalade. And I'm just like, look, money doesn't grow on trees. Like,
she gave you four beautiful babies, and as the adage goes, happy
life is a happy life. Happy life. Happy life.
No, that's not what the adage is. Oh. It's happy wife, happy life, but nice.
I think the adage really goes, when both sides aren't happy, it's a good agreement. Or both sides can't get their way, then it's an actual negotiation.
Oh, you got a good thing going on over there. At home. Phenomenal. And with your organization. Cam, we love you.
We
appreciate you. Thank you for being one of the good guys, even if you're not willing to admit it. Everyone's still terrified of you.
Hi,
anyway.
Cam.
Just like this, I'm going to be right back like, damn it, I ain't seeing this. But no, seriously, for sure. And I just had a little commercial with Fuel Up Play 60 come up with the whole family in it. I'm pretty sure that's my biggest accomplishment so far.
Aww.
I got the whole fam in a commercial. It's lit.
It's cute. So good. Well, and again, your podcast with Mark Ingram.
Biggest trust on the levels.
Give a plug. Love those points.
Big trust levels.
What can fans look forward to for your podcast, and where can they find it?
They can find it on Apple or everything. Wherever you get Spotify, wherever you get whatever you get your podcast from. Big trust, big levels, big trust levels. Me and my guy, Mark Ingram, holding it down for now 2 seasons, interviewing all our friends across the league.
Who's your dream guest? Before I let you go, who's your dream guest? We'll get it. We'll help you get it.
Tom Brady. Just Tom Brady.
Aaron can make that happen.
Yeah, simply because, like,
not when he's coming off the field like Roy Kent.
I know. I was going to say simply because, like, you know, Tom Brady outside of a Patriots uniform looks sort of fun.
He's fun. And tan.
Is a lot of fun. Have you seen what him and Gronk do, their little show?
No. I'm going to have to tune in.
Oh, okay. We're going to send you a clip, and it's hysterical.
That's what I'm saying. He looks like he actually, like, has a personality now. Like, he sort of did, and now he's full blown.
Amazing.
Yeah, but that's probably him. Who would be another one? I think that's probably in the football realm. I think that's it.
He would do it for you.
Yeah, the other one would be Tiger. If we ever just branch out again, ooh, I need Tiger Woods.
That'd be cool.
And he doesn't do interviews like that, so that's why, like, you know, and it's Tiger. Like every childhood kid knew who Childhood.
Oh,
like,
that's Michael Jordan. I was going to say Sean could get that for you, but he's boys with Jordan.
He's boys with Jordan, like big boys. Like, you know. Sean is the only coach that is sponsored by Jordan or something like that.
It's cool.
He flexes. He's like, Cam, you got these yet? Yeah, Sean, we have the same box. It's me, you, and Mike.
It's good. Cam, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for being
you.
I know you guys kicked me off. Like, you kicked me off for the second time.
You're never kicked off.
No, you're not.
You're
never kicked off. We would have you on forever if we could.
No doubt. I appreciate you guys. I'll say shout out to Carissa for my couch. It's super comfy.
Oh, I love it. Sure. How's the couch working out? Is it still good?
I'll text you later. Yeah, it was good until my son decided to power bomb onto one of the little push out things. It just happened this morning.
Well, we'll fix it for you. That's what we do at House and Home. You know that we've got you covered always. Love you. We'll fix it. We'll send him out to fix it.
Appreciate you.
Seriously, I'm not going to let you have a busted up couch. Love you.
No doubt. Appreciate you guys.
Love you, Cam.
Peace.
Calm Down with Aaron and Carissa is a production of iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.